Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, September 8th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Elodie.
Well, I said it would be an active day today, and it certainly was. You have the stock markets moving right on up, and the world is... in a nice place again. We're in a nice place.
Yeah, we're happy place.
We're in a happy place.
Yes.
Gold today was trying to find its happy place, but not so much. Down 60 cents right now. You know, it was swung between a $10 move, 1117 versus 1127, settling 1123. Right now, you have silver up 23 cents at 1491. Platinum was up $12 at $1,008. Palladium up 12 at $593. You have the USDX today trading down slightly, 0.29 at 95.85. Crude oil basically unchanged, down 0.15 at 45.90. And the paper markets today, everyone back from their three-day weekend or longer. As everybody was on holiday for most of the week. Little kitties are back in school. Everyone is back in school now. And the Dow rejoiced, up 2.42%, 390 points at 16,492. The NASDAQ was up also 2.75, 48.11, up 128 points. And the S&P, ditto, 1969, up 48 points. The 10-year yield, 2.19%. That was up a little bit, 0.07. Euro, 1.12, up 0.36. And Germany was up big, almost 2%. London, a little up over 1%. Hong Kong was up big, a little over 3%. But Japan didn't like it. Was down almost 2.5%. Well, I think Greece is getting a little bit of a payback, Al, from, you know, perhaps trying to snub, maybe going against the elite and all their dealings with their debt that has been experienced this year. They're releasing a lot of refugees on their Greek islands, and there was one particular report, the Greek island of, I don't know if I'm saying this properly, Lesbos, has turned basically into a war zone. and the people who live there. There's about 85,000 residents and about 25,000 migrants are camping.
Holy
yeah,
cow.
Are camping out on the island, with hundreds more arriving daily. There's violent clashes, and the people are. This island, this Greek island, is just not the only one. And this island is, it's the third largest Greek island. It's very close to Turkey. It's about 6 miles from the Turkish shoreline. And, they're just hauling them all, you know, and,
So are the immigrants coming from the Turkish? Are they coming from North Africa? They're coming from North Africa, and they're landing on the island of Lesbos.
They're Syrians. They're Syrians. They're Afghans, and
be coming across probably from Turkey.
They're being ferried by government, and these are government ferries.
The Turkish government is ferrying them over there.
The European, from what I understand, it's the European ferries. And so, you know, the people that are living there, they can't go to work. The children can't go to school. The one woman that was interviewed, she says, we can't go out. She says they've stolen our lives. They want them to go away. They're not being respected. They said this one little town is just being turned into a urinal because there's no place to put these people. And they said that this is like a time bomb, ticking time bomb that is ready to, you know, really erupt. This island, the mayor of this island is trying to get the European Union to do something, but they're almost complicit in doing this. And so it's, you know.
That's a terrible situation.
Terrible.
I'm curious whether or not the Greek people are allowed to have firearms.
Highly unlikely. This is Europe.
Well, I don't know. They may or they may not. I don't know, but I'm curious. You know, it's like what we see happening here in this country with the illegal aliens coming into this country. It is technically an invasion.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference between this and the invasion when the Nazis invaded Poland or France is the Nazis used guns to fight their way in. And this in our country, and apparently down in Greece, you don't need any guns. Right? You don't need any guns to invade because the people who live there don't have guns or sufficient nerve to protect their own country. But what we see down there, this is a terrible story. 85,000 people living on the island and 25,000 are immigrants?
That are coming in, refugees. And, you know, I've been doing a little bit of reading and so forth, various views and opinions on this. And, you know, they're all Muslims. And,
yep.
You know, this is being a relocation plan led by the UN to relocate these, you know, to.
You know what I'd say? I feel sorry for these immigrants. I know they've got a difficult situation. But the reason they have it is precisely because they are Muslims, number one. The culture, the Muslim culture, is not conducive to prosperity. If they had any brains and gonads, what they should do is stay in their own country and overturn existing governments and establish something where people can survive and make a halfway decent living. The problem is they don't want to fight in their own country. They would rather come to some Christian country, and then because the Christians are easy. They don't want to fight. Christians don't want to defend. They want to be nice to everybody. And the truth of the matter is, when you allow, you know, Karl Marx, he made the point, he said the essence of communism is the abolition of private property. And to a significant degree, when you see illegal aliens pouring into a country, it's an abolition of private property. They're essentially saying, we don't care if this is your country or not, we're coming in. And the people who live here and the people who live on Lesbos, they apparently are unable to defend their own property against foreign invaders. This is going to break down in a way where there's going to be some dead bodies. And I'm not talking about 5 or 10. we're going to see a problem, not necessarily on Lesbos, but this is going to continue until the locals try to kill all the invaders, or the invaders try to kill all the locals, but there's going to be a problem that's going to result in hundreds of dead people, and maybe more than that. And then they're going to start to take this invasion, this illegal alien thing, they're going to start to take, perhaps they'll take it seriously. And the government won't. They want these cultures. They want the European culture destroyed. They want the American culture destroyed. They want to bring other cultures in and teach everybody we have to respect cultures that can't keep you alive on their own past your 45th birthday. They aren't worthy of our respect. And people that are coming here who think you just go to this place, we'll go to Europe, or we'll go to the United States, and then we'll get rich. We'll just go to the place. It's not that. If you want to get rich, if you want to be prosperous, you have to embrace a culture and the system of values that allows you to become prosperous. If you want to bring the culture from Mexico or the culture, the Muslim culture, you want to bring it to Europe and still get rich, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. You're going to live in poverty just like you do in most of Syria and most of the Middle East. There's a fundamental reality. It's caused by your own culture. You bring that culture with you and you think you can embrace your culture, your ancient culture, and still not get the violence and the poverty you were trying to escape. You're crazy.
I think you hit it, on the nail that, and I think a lot of this, most of it, all of it, is all by design. And I've even read certain portions where these people that are they're actually trying to be passed off as Syrian refugees, but really they're from North Africa, Muslims, and they're trying to get to Germany, and so they pass themselves off as these refugees, and but it's all part of the European, the EU, the New World Order people, and so forth.
Yep.
The UN. And, it's, these people aren't Christians.
No.
The Christians, heck, they're getting, killed over there. They're getting murdered over there.
Yep.
And, these are Muslims, and we know how this plays out. And so it's...
they're not going to give up their culture. That's the problem. They're not moving to Europe to become Europeans.
No, they're there to infiltrate
Europe to change Europe into a Muslim into
nation.
A Muslim hellhole.
Yep.
That's what will happen.
Yep.
Get enough Muslims up there, they'll be looking for another place to emigrate to. They'll be emigrating to South America, to North America, Africa. I don't know where they're going to go. Well, they're already in Africa, North Africa. I don't know where they're all planning on going, but it is like a disease. They carry their culture with them, just like Typhoid Mary was a carrier of typhoid. They are running from their culture, and yet they think all they have to do is go to a new place. It's like taking somebody who's a drug addict and saying, all we have to do with this drug addict is just move them into a nicer neighborhood, and then they'll be fine. No, they won't. They'll still be drug addicts.
Yeah, but it's all by design now.
And what they'll actually do is ruin the neighborhood. Tend to ruin the neighborhood of the people that aren't drug addicts.
But it's all by design.
I know. I agree with you 100%.
All by design.
Otherwise, we'd have people in this country. We have a military that can invade. We can invade Iraq, and we can worry about ISIS, and maybe Iran, and God knows how many countries we can invade, but we can't defend our own country from an invasion. That isn't an accident. That isn't a misunderstanding. That's evidence the government says to hell with the American people, to hell with the United States of America. They want to create a new world order, a North American Union. They want Mexico united with the United States and Canada, and they are saying to hell with the nations themselves and to hell with their people. They have a plan, and they intend to implement.
Well, they do something. They threw a woman in jail, and I guess she is being released today. The Kentucky clerk,
yep,
who refused to grant the marriage licenses to the same-sex couples, she was released.
Mm-hmm.
But she has been in jail since Thursday. No bail, no anything. And so she was out, and Huckabee was by her side when they left. I don't know what he had to do with getting her released or if he played any part, but he was there to help her get out or, you know, be with her anyway. So,
I understand.
So they can throw someone like that in prison. And they could make sure that, you know, if you're being a Christian and standing up for what you believe, and...
That's the other thing. They are trying to compel people who are Christians to violate their own faith for the convenience of a bunch of homosexuals. This is insane. This is just absolutely insane. It's a kind of blasphemy. It's an attack on faith. It shouldn't be tolerated. But they get away with it because people in this country are always trying to be nice. Well, at least some people are. And I'm just suggesting it's time to stop being nice. It's time to just pull out a six gun and say, look, get the H off my property. Get out of my city. Get out of my state. You can't just let everybody who wants to come in here. You know, I saw a survey this last week. 51% of the illegal aliens that are in this country are on welfare. Over half are on welfare. What are we doing? What are we doing? Allowing people from other countries to come in here just so they can live on welfare? The whole thing is insane. And the government does nothing about it. They won't do anything to stop it because it is government policy, and the people that we are electing to public office are bent on destroying this nation. They have no there has no constitutional authority for them to enter in any agreements where we join Mexico or Canada or the New World Order. They are engaged in treason. And the only thing I'd suggest is before we move the illegal aliens out, we need to try people in the government for treason, and if they are found guilty, hang them. Make them understand this is no game, right? You're not going to destroy this nation because you have some brilliant communistic idea. This is no game. We're going to protect this country, and if it means that everybody from the janitor on up to the president in the White House, in the cat house on the Potomac, if they all have to be tried for treason, try them. Those that are found guilty, hang them. And not 6 years from now. Get them that afternoon.
Well, you know, no one is held accountable. Bankrate, Inc., it's a publisher of widely read finance data. They agreed to pay $15 million. It's a fine to settle federal regulators' charges of manipulating its financial results to meet analysts' expectations. So they made the announcement today of civil charges, and they're based in North Palm Beach, Florida. And, of course, neither the former vice president no one's admitted or denied wrongdoing, and it has agreed – Bankrate has agreed to refrain from future violations of the securities laws. I promise, with my fingers crossed behind my back, I promise never to do this again. But the former vice president is paying $180,000 to resolve allegations that he and two other Bankrate executives ran a scheme to inflate revenues, and they omitted some expenses from reports. And it just goes to show you, hey, here's a little bit of money, $15 million after we've made billions,
yep,
you know, from falsifying our information. You know, we'll give you a little bit of the slush fund. You know, probably as they're making their billions of dollars, they probably have a separate SEC account. Well, for every billion, that's, you know, they're going to come and ask us for at least, you know, maybe 1% to 10%. So we'll just put that
not
in there for
that,
when they're ready.
They won't come to ask us until probably 3 to 5 years.
Years later. Yeah. 2012.
Yeah, we'll be, that's what I more or less expect. Yeah. We got 3 years of clear sailing, make all the money we want. When we get caught, we'll buy our way out of the situation and say, is this a great country or what? And
yeah,
the answer is, or what? That's where we are headed right now. Let's take a break. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs are brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the ladies and gentlemen that are listening to the program to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. You just mentioned that, Al. I just wanted to mention again.
I didn't mention. I just said Discount Gold and Silver.
Didn't you give out the phone number? Oh, see, I wasn't paying any attention to you.
See. Now, during,
but I think
during,
you did. I just think you forgot.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. See, during the break, Melody and I were talking, and I started to say something. I said, oh, never mind. And Melody says, what were you going to say? What were you going to say? And I have learned, so I really didn't have anything to say. What I have learned is the only way I can get Melody to pay attention to me is I have to, oh, never mind.
Oh, no.
What were you going to say? Come on, tell me. What were you going to say? All right. Otherwise,
I pay attention. I listen.
Hmm?
But I want the listeners to visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We've got some great prices on all of our product. I'm going to update our comparison on the $20 gold pieces for tomorrow's program. We'll have Wendy Wilson joining us tomorrow, and then we have James Corbett for Thursday, as usual. And what's next, Al?
Got an article here from the Washington Examiner. Donald Trump beats Hillary Clinton in poll and gets 25% among blacks. Survey USA has just come up with a national poll conducted September 2nd and 3rd, showing Donald Trump leading Hillary Clinton 45-40%. Now, that's impressive all by itself. I mean, it's got to just break the rest of the Republican candidates' hearts. They're not even in a race. And this guy is already, he's not only beating them, he's beating Hillary. That's got to really get these people talking to themselves. But there is great significance
in
this.
My dog Ruby could beat Hillary Clinton.
Well, maybe later. I don't know.
Go ahead.
And clearly, even as Clinton's unfavorables are going up, Trump's are going down. This is the first national poll showing Trump leading Clinton. But the biggest news in the Survey USA poll, the results of non-white or people of color block against Trump, Clinton carries non-whites by less than impressive margins. Trump's name is supposed to be mud among Hispanics, but he gets 31% of their votes. Among Asians, Trump actually has a statistically insignificant lead, but a lead nevertheless, of 41 to 39%. Among blacks, Clinton leads Trump by 59 to 25%, but that's a huge contrast with Barack Obama's margins of 95 to 4% in 2008 and 93 to 6% in 2012. I mean, blacks are usually almost universally in support of certainly a black candidate, a Democrat candidate. In this particular instance, Trump is he's making headway with 25% of the black community, which is really pretty amazing. But then I have a second article on Trump, and this is where we get into a little more meat on this thing. And this is also from the Washington Examiner, and the headline is Paul Krugman defends Trumponomics. That's what they're calling it. Liberal columnist Paul Krugman has become an unlikely, albeit qualified, defender of Donald Trump. Trump, like the New York Times columnist wrote on Monday, is an unusual GOP presidential candidate in that he is departing from the party's typical stance on taxes and health care. Unlike his fellow Republican contenders, Trump has shown a willingness to raise taxes on the wealthy and has at times appeared favorable to universal health care. Now, Trump is being attacked for those stances by former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who's trying to claw his way back to the top of the heap, but Trump doesn't yet appear to be suffering in public opinion. And that proves the GOP voters don't share the party establishment's economic delusions. This is Krugman's argument, right? Now, what this implies is that the Republican Party has been captured by oligarchs, well, the super rich, and has adopted policies consistent with the values and interests of the super rich. However, it also appears that the rank and file Republicans aren't dedicated to those policies that favor the super rich. And that's why they don't mind Trump's attitude. Trump is saying we need to raise taxes on the super rich, right? And he's one of them. And the people say, yeah, buddy, the Republican rank and file are in on this. All right. They are supporting Trump, and Trump is committing a kind of heresy against established Republican policy and platform. Now, what this means, this is important because it suggests that there is a division within the Republican Party. We've got platform and policy that the Republicans have embraced and supported and whatever for years, at least they gave lip service to it. And it turns out that the rank and file, they don't care about those policies. They don't mind if somebody stands up and says, to heck with them. And if that's the case, now we're left to ask, what are the real values of the people who are members of the Republican Party? If they're not really, they don't really care about policies that favor the super rich, and they're not absolutely opposed to universal health care, what is it that motivates them to join the Republican Party as opposed to the Democrat Party? Is it race, religion, work ethic, self-employment, unemployment? Are the rank and file Republicans simply sick of being sold out by Republican Party leaders? The article continues again. It says, Mr. Trump, who is self-financing, doesn't need to genuflect to the big money. And it turns out that the base doesn't mind. They mean the Republican base. It doesn't mind his heresies. And this is Paul Krugman writing, again, a Nobel Prize winning economist. And he goes on, he says, this is a real revelation, which may have a lasting impact on our politics. And I'd say, yes, indeed. Trump's previously unimaginable success. I mean, who would have imagined? Trump's only been in the race for, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I don't know how long he's been in the race. And he's ahead of Hillary Clinton already. Who would have predicted that 90 days ago? Who could have imagined it? His unimaginable success signals a revolution in the Republican Party. The rank and file are not supporting the oligarchs. The rank and file wants something other than whatever is best for the super rich. And Trump, one way or another, has managed to tap into that. This indicates there are big... Trump is not just about what's going on with Hillary Clinton. He's not just about what's going to happen in the 2016 election. Trump is showing us, I mean, he is a big man to be a canary, but he's a canary in the Republican coal mine right now, and he is telling us there are big changes among the people in the Republican Party, and these changes are going to be reflected. That rank and file is going to come out and say, this is what we want. I don't think we even know what the majority of the Republican Party, the people who support the Republican Party, what are they want? What do they want? What do they hate about the Democratic Party? Why are they Republicans? And it's not because they're simply crazy about the policies Republicans have traditionally espoused, I say traditionally, for the last 10, 15, 20 years. There's going to be a significant change. What's it going to be, Melody? What really makes people want to join the Republican Party?
What makes people want to join the Democratic Party?
Well, they got no place else to go.
There's no place to go.
They probably couldn't read. They probably They just stumbled into a Democrat meeting and they said, "Well,
no, I was forced." I wasn't forced, but I had to sign up as a Republican because I had a non-affiliation for years, and I wanted to, I wanted to do some, I think it was some sort of a primary in our local office. I can't even remember what it was. It goes, it's maybe 10 years ago. And I wasn't allowed to vote. It was only for if you were a Republican, or it was strictly for the party liners.
Well, if you're in the primary,
and
yeah,
I wanted, that. But it was based on something to do with the community, and I wanted to vote on it. And it's like, no, I shouldn't be turned away for something that affects my community. So I registered as a Republican so I could have the vote, and so.
I thought you women have had the vote for most of a century now.
Alfred. Do you think that Bernie,
what?
Do you think that Bernie Sanders or even Biden to their Democratic Party do the same as Trump is doing to the Republican Party?
No.
Particularly Sanders as his proclaimed socialist.
No, I don't think he's having, I don't see any evidence of any sort of a division within the Democrat Party that's significant on an ideological basis. But, when we pose the question, what is it that the rank-and-file Republicans really want? And one thing I'll say about the Republican Party is they have, throughout my lifetime pretty much, they have at least paid lip service to an idea of a kind of patriotic America. They have seldom supported that idea to any meaningful degree, but it's been a song they have sung for a long time. And I have a hunch maybe that's what the people who support the Republican Party really want. They want some sort of return to a traditional America. And they're not, the party, I think, has just been captured by oligarchs, where they run it the way they want, and they do what they do. And Trump is showing, look, the rank and file don't want it. They want something else. I'm not sure what it is, but I think maybe they want a restoration. And Trump is coming in, and he says, let's make America great again. And that's what the Republicans have been talking about for much of my lifetime, but they've never worked at it. They just talk about it, get elected, and then they take as much money as they can get, just like the Democrats do from special interests, and betray the American people. I think the Republican base, I think they're saying maybe Trump is for real. Maybe he's going to try to do what's right for the country rather than what's profitable for special interests. Maybe that's what's motive. But there's a mystery going on here. There is a disconnect between the standard policy and platform of the Republican Party and what the Republican rank and file really want. And this is going to be exposed over the next months and year. And it's going to be something to see. We're going to learn something. So always in favor of learning, Melody. I like to learn.
I'm not even sure the people, the Republicans, really know what they want. I think I agree. I think the foundation of the Republican Party, I mean, I'm not a political expert. I don't think the core, that part doesn't, people don't want it to change. Like you said, it's patriotic, apple pie and all this. It's conservatives.
Yep.
I mean, it's conservatives. It's Christian. It's
yes.
That's what, I think people are looking for something, but I don't think they know what they want, what they need to be looking for. And I don't think Trump really fits what a true Republican or conservative wants, but yet he's saying a few of the things that make people happy. I'm not so sure if he actually got president, if he actually became president of the United States, I don't think people would be very happy with him.
No, I think it's a thankless job.
I think
you got to be a little bit crazy to want to be president of the United States. I think it's a mark of sanity that I gave up my dreams of being president. Every little boy can grow up to be president. Sooner or later you get smart and you say, no, that's not for me.
And I'm not,
really, how many presidents we shoot in this country?
And I'm not saying that he's, that there's anything better than Trump.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. He may be the best we got. For the moment, he at least appears,
he says the right things, but we don't know what he'll do.
Well, I agree. He doesn't know what he's going to do.
No.
He's going off into a world that he has not inhabited. He's been peripheral to it, but he hasn't really been in politics in a meaningful sense. He's been out making money and cutting deals. He can take that same expertise and use it in the White House. But he's going to be on an Earn While You Learn program. It'll be new. It'll be new for him also. But that maybe is a good thing. We've got too many people from the Republican and Democrat parties have been there so long, they take it for granted. The system works a certain way, and it doesn't work for the best interest of the American people. But they just take it for granted. There's nothing that can be done about it. And Trump, who's been described as a wrecking ball, he's coming in and says, oh, yeah, I think we can. I think we can make America great again. And the rest of them say, no, we've got to have a North American Union, and we've got to have more illegal aliens. We got to take care of the super rich and destroy the middle class and send our jobs to foreign countries and whatever. And Trump seems to be thinking, I don't know, I'm not going to argue that Trump is going to be the savior of the United States of America. But I certainly wouldn't argue it. You name another candidate that you think is the savior of the United States of America. Who else could be who is in the race right now? Who's not already contaminated by working in government for so long that you can't really trust him.
The only other one would be Ben Carson, and I think
but he's not in politics.
Yeah, that's right.
He's another one coming in from the outside, and the politicians say, "What are you crazy people doing, trying to elect ordinary people to be in positions of power? We're the official politicians. We're the habitual and even generational. Our fathers were politicians. We're politicians. We own this country. We get to do what we want." Maybe not. Maybe we, the people, should still have a say in what's going on in Washington. Let's take a break for some commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. What's next, Melody?
Just to finish up Trump, then we'll move on. I just wish he would say something to, you know, if he's trying to improve our economy, if he's trying to make America great again, what is it that's going to make America great again?
Well, maybe get government off.
Other than just deals. You know, cause
well, maybe
you
get government off our back. I mean, the problem is
he needs to sit, you know what? He doesn't say he needs to go just a step further. To me, he's just a salesperson at this point in time, and that's okay. But just go a step further other than making America great again. We're going to build a wall. Those are all things I agree on. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, hey, when you're making a deal, and my question is, hey, If he needs to make a deal to bring business back into this country, does that mean he's going to go along with the North American treaty?
No, I don't think so.
Well, has he said it?
No, he hasn't said it.
Well,
hasn't said it. Trump is in some to significant degrees in over his head. As is anyone who assumes that office. You know, they have questions on when Trump is on these panels, and they ask him about foreign policy, and he tries to avoid the question. But nobody knows, right? What difference does it make if he doesn't know anything about foreign policy?
I don't have a problem.
Because it is constantly shifting. Whatever foreign policy was last week, what has that got to do with what it is today?
Wasn't that why you have other offices and you have your generals and everything else? I mean,
that's right. You know, somebody comes up and says, here's the problem we have.
Absolutely.
And we need somebody to make the call. Do we go right? Do we go left, up, down? What are we going to do here? Trump doesn't need to know all this stuff, and no man can know it all. I mean, what does Obama know? What did George W. Bush know? They managed to get through the presidency. All right, without completely destroying the country. The question is, you have people come in, they present you with information, and if you can trust them to give you the correct information in the first place, then you can make a decision, and anyone can, really. I mean, if you're capable of making decisions in your life, usually, you know, if it's a normal part of your life, if somebody comes in and says, here's what we got. On the one hand, we got this. On the other hand, we got that. What do you want to do? Make the call. Trump can make the call. All right? And he'll learn from them, you know. But anyone who goes into the White House, it is a learning experience for anyone. And no one completely masters it. You can't in this day and age. It may be that once upon a time, you could be president of the United States and you knew everything you needed to know to be president.
Not today.
That isn't even possible today. No man can do that. No woman can do it. Nobody's got all of that information. You get in there and you do the best you can. And, you know, it might be better if it was a different way, but that's the way this strikes me at this point in time. As I was saying earlier, though, you know, you got to be a little crazy to run for president. It's my understanding that we shoot one president out of every four. Statistically, we shoot one out of four, and we actually kill one out of every 11. This is a dangerous job. I mean, you got to give anyone, I don't care. I have my opinion of the last two presidents is generally contempt, but you got to give them a certain amount of respect. They're taking on a job where they have a chance in four of being shot and a chance in 11 of being killed. It takes a certain amount of, you know, you have to respect that for anyone who gets into that office. This is dangerous business, and you know, you have to at least give them respect for that. They're willing to endure that level of danger in order to what? Show up to the girlfriend, back at high school girlfriend, or I don't know.
So they can make millions after 4 years. It's a gamble. Hey, I'm going to make it 4 years, so I can get out of here and become a billionaire. Get all kinds
of
rewards.
You got it. They'd walk out of the White House.
All they have to do is show up for work, Al, anymore. They're only puppets. I mean, I would think
that's true, and Bill Clinton admitted that.
I mean, I would think that those stats would be more... would mean something more maybe 50 years ago. I mean, but today's their ability, with technology, I mean, they're far more protected today, and they're puppets.
You mean
protected
against assassination?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say that's probably true.
I would think that those, you know, stats just can't be current. Up to today, but and they're puppets anyway.
Well, that's again Bill Clinton. He made the comment after he was first elected. He said, "You know, you spend all your life trying to get elected president, so you have real power, and you get here, and you find out you're still taking orders from somebody else." Yeah. I mean, he got in the White House, and it turned out he was a puppet. Surprise! Guess what? You thought you were going to finally be able to pull the strings. The strings are still pulling you, you know, and Trump may not, it may be overly optimistic or naive to suppose that Trump isn't going to have his strings pulled when he gets into the White House, if he gets there. But there is a possibility that Trump is not a puppet. And in fact, you have to presume he's not. I mean, well, you can't necessarily say that for the rest of the contenders, or at least the professional politicians, if they're not puppets, they're almost certainly willing to be puppets in order to get into the White House. Trump may not be a puppet. That might not be a bad thing, you know? Even if the man makes some bad calls, it may still not be a bad thing to put somebody in the White House who is not a puppet. Right? And let's take our chances. Let's vote for him. All right? Let's take a shot. Let's be Americans again. And instead of being puppets, we'll be Americans. We're going to stand up. We're going to do something. Do what's right for the country. Do what's right to restore the middle class.
Have to start somewhere.
No, I agree. You got to take that shot. You have to take that, and the other alternative is if that doesn't do it. Well, then what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and allow this nation to be destroyed? Or is it time for a shooting revolution? And there will be people considering that question. If Trump turns out to be a failure or whatever, somebody else is elected and the country keeps going downhill, there are going to be people that are going to consider that option.
Wow.
I don't know which that they're going to choose. I don't know. There'll be a lot of people who choose the violent solution, but there will be more and more people who will consider it.
Well, I think there will be other sorts of unrest prior to that point, but if you look around this country and see, it's just the violence just amazes me.
Well, that's I'm surprised we didn't get it sooner.
True,
because the country has been in a state. We have been in a recession for really since 2008.
2001.
Well, maybe you can trace it back even further. And the truth is, some studies indicate that the average income in this country hasn't increased since the 1970s. We're not more prosperous. We don't. The American dream is dying. The American dream is that each generation would live better than the previous generation. That's not true right now. No one really expects the next generation to live better than the current generation. Nobody's even considering that possibility. Our standard of living is declining. And that inevitably creates financial stress that drive people to violence.
I think a lot of that violence and a lot of the stress, although was covered up for a lot of years, and it's so big now. And it's coming out, it's becoming blatant.
It's becoming blatant. We've had blacks that are There have been blacks on the internet that are claiming they're going to start hunting white policemen. It's one thing to see violence. It's another thing where people are bragging.
Out of Colorado.
It makes people, you take it a lot more seriously.
Out of Colorado, it didn't have anything to do with black or white. It was just about, if they see a single, and I don't even like talking about it on the radio, because certainly don't want, but if they see a single police officer, he's history.
Well,
that's in Colorado, and
this is what happens when people get. They don't have enough work. They don't have enough money.
Exactly.
They can't afford to feed themselves and their kids, and they can't afford to pay the mortgage on the house or the rent on the apartment or whatever it is. It makes people crazy, and they start looking for someone to blame, right, for their troubles. And not many of us will take personal responsibility for our troubles. It's a lot more convenient to blame the Republicans, blame the Democrats, blame somebody. Right? And if you blame them enough, maybe it causes you to act out against them in a way that's not just, complaints, but actual violence. But it's not rational. Right? It's not completely irrational, but it's not rational. It's a reaction to poverty. Or a declining standard of living. And it makes people grumpy, Melody.
Yes,
it does. It's like waking them up in the morning and they, hey, wake up. Leave me alone. Pretty soon they start shooting. Just leave him sleep. He sleeps with a six gun. Don't wake him up,
Yes.
What have you done? How was your summer, Melody?
Went by very quick.
Yeah, no, they go quicker every year. Used to last forever, and now they go pretty fast.
But I did see something on watching the news. There was a commercial, and I cannot believe that there is a program coming out November 5th of this year, and it's called Angel from Hell. And I believe the person, I only got a quick view of it because I couldn't believe what I heard. I believe she is the, I think she's a lesbian, the one that plays the angel. And I'm thinking to myself, Al, it's done. I just couldn't believe that something like this is being aired prime time, beginning November 5th, And I was just shocked.
Well, that's what makes people watch. You know, I mean, this is part of, you know, shock jocks and the rest of that sort of thing. You got to shock people to attract an audience and hold them and sell stuff.
But I see it as another attack.
I agree.
On Christianity.
I agree, and they know that. I don't know if they really are attacking Christianity or they're just trying to fake an attack in order to attract attention, put eyes on the product, and hopefully increase sales. I don't know.
Coming from Hollywood, I have no doubt they know exactly what they're doing.
I don't know if they do. Again, they're stressed. Everybody's under a stressed, you know, things are not, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people, I'd say a majority, are a little more concerned and a little more wary than they would like to be. They're sitting back and wondering, maybe this thing is going to, you know, it's not just a handful of people that listen to this radio program and are concerned, and are concerned about what's happening potentially to our economy and the country and so on. There are people who don't talk about it, don't read books about it, and yet they are concerned. Something's wrong. And that mentality, you know, it's conducive to maybe violence, shock, I don't know. But people are worried. People are worried and concerned and, you know, we'll watch and see where that goes. But what this country needs is some serious stability where we can sit back and be pretty well assured that whatever we had yesterday, we're going to have tomorrow. And 6 months from now and a year from now, except maybe we'll have a little bit more. Things will go up. Things will get better. It's not like that right now. The most we can expect is it won't get any worse. And some people think it is going to get worse, so we'll watch and see. Again, we live in interesting times. You know? And they're going to be more interesting. And this 2016 election should be fascinating. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's you.